Hello and welcome to your GCSE Citizenship Studies revision podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we are diving deep into one of the most fascinating and genuinely important topics on the entire specification, Theme D, Power and Influence. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Power and influence? That sounds a bit dry, but trust me. By the end of this episode, you're going to see that this theme is about you. It's about how ordinary citizens like you and me can shape the world around us, how governments exercise power, how the media influences what we think, and how the UK fits into a complex web of international relationships. This topic comes up consistently in exam questions, and candidates who do really well are the ones who understand the connections between all the different parts. So, let's get into it. Let's start with the big picture. Theme D is essentially asking three massive questions. First, how do citizens exercise power and influence in the UK? Second, how does the media shape public opinion and hold power to account? And third, how does the UK use its power and influence on the world stage? Keep those three questions in your mind throughout your revision. They're the spine of everything we're going to cover today. Right. Let's talk about citizen participation. There are two main types, direct action and indirect action. You absolutely must be able to distinguish between them and give examples of each. Direct action is when citizens act directly to bring about change, rather than going through normal political channels. Think of protest marches, petitions, strikes, boycotts, demonstrations, and civil disobedience. A brilliant example is the Extinction Rebellion protests, where activists blocked roads and bridges in London to draw attention to climate change. That's direct action, forcing the issue into the public eye. Indirect action works through the established political system. Voting in elections is the most obvious example. But indirect action also includes joining a political party, contacting your MP, joining a pressure group, lobbying Parliament, or writing to newspapers. Now, here's something really important. Neither type is automatically better than the other. Direct action can be more visible and create faster change, but it can also alienate people or break the law. Indirect action is more legitimate in the eyes of many, but it can be slower. In your exam, if you're asked to evaluate these methods, you need to weigh up both sides. Let's also talk about pressure groups. A pressure group is an organisation that tries to influence government policy without actually seeking to govern. There are two main types. Sectional groups represent a particular section of society, like a trade union representing workers. Cause groups campaign for a specific issue that benefits everyone. Greenpeace and Amnesty International are classic examples. The effectiveness of pressure groups depends on whether they're insider or outsider groups. Insider groups have direct access to government ministers and are consulted when policy is being made. Outsider groups rely more on public campaigns and media attention. We also need to cover barriers to participation, because this is something candidates often overlook, and it's worth wheel marks. Barriers include apathy, lack of information, disillusionment with politics, discrimination, and practical barriers like time constraints. Examiners will credit you for showing awareness that participation isn't equally accessible to everyone in society.
Let's move on to the media and the free press. This is a really rich area for exam questions. The media plays a crucial role in a democracy. It informs citizens about what's happening in government and society. It sets the agenda, deciding which issues get public attention. It scrutinises those in power and holds them to account. And it provides a platform for different viewpoints. A free press is one that operates independently of government control. In the UK, we have press freedom. Newspapers, broadcasters, and online media can report on government actions without fear of censorship. This is vital for democracy, because without a free press, governments could act without scrutiny, and citizens would make decisions based on incomplete or biased information. However, and this is really important, the media isn't neutral. Newspapers are owned by wealthy individuals or corporations, and this can influence their editorial line. The Sun, the Daily Mail, the Guardian, they all have different political leanings, and that shapes how they present the news. candidates who recognise this complexity and link media influence to the concept of accountability will score much higher marks. Social media has transformed political participation in the 21st century. Platforms like Twitter and Instagram allow ordinary citizens to share information, organise protests, and hold politicians to account in ways that were impossible 20 years ago. The Arab Spring of 2010 and 2011 showed how social media could help coordinate mass political movements. But social media also has a dark side. Misinformation spreads rapidly. Echo chambers can reinforce extreme views. So when evaluating the media in your exam, show that nuanced understanding. The media is powerful, but that power can be used for both good and ill. Now, let's turn to international organisations. And this is where a lot of candidates lose marks by confusing different organisations. So let me be really clear about each one. The United Nations, or UN, was founded in 1945 after the Second World War with the aim of preventing future conflicts. It has 193 member states. That's almost every country in the world. The UN's main bodies include the Security Council, which has five permanent members with veto power: the USA, Russia, China, France, and the UK. The UN promotes peace, human rights, and humanitarian aid through agencies like UNICEF and the World Food Programme. NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, was founded in 1949 as a military alliance. Its core principle is collective defense, enshrined in Article 5. An attack on one member is an attack on all. NATO currently has 32 members, including the UK and most Western European nations. The Commonwealth is a voluntary association of 56 countries, most of which were formerly part of the British Empire. It promotes democracy, development, and cultural exchange. The Commonwealth has no formal powers. It works through cooperation and shared values. The World Trade Organization, or WTO, was founded in 1995 and has 164 members. It regulates international trade, resolves trade disputes between countries, and promotes free trade. Now, a really common mistake in exams. Candidates often confuse the European Union with the Council of Europe. These are completely different organisations. The European Union is a political and economic union of 27 member states. The UK left in 2020 following the Brexit referendum of 2016. The Council of Europe, on the other hand, has 46 members and focuses specifically on human rights, democracy, and the rule of law. It is responsible for the European Convention on Human Rights and the European Court of Human Rights. The UK remains a member of the Council of Europe, even after Brexit. Let's talk about the UK's post-Brexit relationship with the EU. This is a live, evolving topic, and examiners expect you to be up to date. Since leaving the EU in January 2020, the UK has had to negotiate new arrangements. The Trade and Cooperation Agreement of December 2020 governs trade between the UK and EU. There are no tariffs on goods, but there is significant new bureaucracy and customs checks. Freedom of movement has ended, EU citizens no longer have an automatic right to live and work in the UK, and UK citizens no longer have that right in EU countries. Travel has also changed, UK passport holders can no longer use the EU fast track lanes at airports. These are real concrete changes that you should be able to discuss in your exam.
Let's talk about democratic and non-democratic political systems, because comparing these is a classic exam question. A democratic system has free and fair elections, multiple political parties, freedom of speech and press, an independent judiciary, protection of human rights, and peaceful transfers of power. The UK, USA, and France are all examples of democratic systems. Non-democratic systems, sometimes called authoritarian systems, lack these features. Elections may be rigged or non-existent, the press is censored, there is no independent judiciary. Human rights are routinely abused. North Korea is the most extreme example, where a single family has ruled for decades with total control over every aspect of life. When comparing systems in your exam, always use specific named examples. Don't just say a country, say what makes it democratic or non-democratic and give evidence. Right, let's move into exam tips and common mistakes. This is where I want you to really listen carefully, because these are the things that separate a grade 4 from a grade 7. Common mistake number 1, confusing the EU with the Council of Europe. I've already mentioned this, but it's so important I'm saying it again. The EU is about economic and political integration. The Council of Europe is about human rights. Different organisations, different purposes, different memberships. Common mistake number two, failing to link media influence to accountability. When you write about the media, don't just describe what it does. Explain why it matters for democracy. The media holds power to account. Without it, governments can act without scrutiny. That's the link examiners want to see. Common mistake number three, generalising about the UK's role in international conflicts. Don't just say the UK gets involved in conflicts. Be specific. The UK can respond to international conflicts through diplomacy and mediation, through economic sanctions, through military force as part of NATO or UN operations, or through humanitarian aid. Each method has different implications and effectiveness. Examiners want that specificity. Common mistake number four, ignoring barriers to participation. When discussing citizen participation, always acknowledge that not everyone can participate equally. This shows the sophisticated, critical thinking that earns higher marks. Right, now for some exam technique. When you see the command word explain, you need to give reasons and show how they connect, not just describe. Use connective language. This led to, as a result, this meant that, therefore. When you see evaluate or assess, you must weigh up different sides and reach a clear judgment. Don't sit on the fence. Examiners want to see you make a decision and justify it. When you see compare, you must explicitly identify both similarities and differences. Don't just describe each thing separately. For longer questions, always plan before you write. Spend 2 minutes jotting down your main points. This will make your answer more structured and earn you more marks. Quickfire recall quiz time. I'm going to ask you 5 questions. Pause the podcast after each one and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What is the difference between direct and indirect action? Direct action involves citizens acting outside the normal political channels. Protests, strikes, civil disobedience. Indirect action works within the system. Voting, joining parties, lobbying. Question 2. Name the 4 main international organisations the UK belongs to. The United Nations, NATO, the Commonwealth, and the World Trade Organization. Question 3. What is Article 5 of NATO? It's the collective defence clause. An attack on one NATO member is considered an attack on all members. Question 4. What is the difference between the EU and the Council of Europe? The EU is a political and economic union of 27 members. The Council of Europe has 46 members and focuses on human rights and democracy. The UK left the EU in 2020, but remains in the Council of Europe. Question 5. Name 3 barriers to political participation. Apathy, lack of information, disillusionment, discrimination, and time constraints. Any 3 of those would be correct. Right, let's wrap up with a quick summary of the key things to remember from today's episode. Theme D is about power and influence at local, national, and global levels. Citizens can participate through direct action, protests, petitions, civil disobedience, or indirect action, voting, lobbying, pressure groups. The media plays a vital role in democracy by informing citizens and holding power to account, but it isn't neutral. The UK belongs to the UN, NATO, the Commonwealth, and the WTO, and you need to know the purpose of each one. The EU and the Council of Europe are completely different organisations. Don't confuse them. Since Brexit in 2020, the UK's relationship with the EU has changed significantly in terms of trade, freedom of movement, and travel. And when comparing political systems, always use specific named examples. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past paper questions. And remember, the more specific and analytical you are in your answers, the more marks you will earn. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.